Morning, everyone. We are here on a worship on a Sunday, so we are here to worship the Lord. But and we're going to continue to do that now through the Word. But we had a great week with the mission team that was here from Peoria, Illinois. We had, I think it was, I want to say 37 or 40, 42, something like that. Anyway, they have come and they have gone and they have made a large impact. I want to share with you some of those that are. Some of the things that they have done this week, if you know that we had, well, let me just go down the list. So they took the trees, they took the tree and the bush stumps out of the ground over there. They grounded those up at the church across the street. They also took out the tree at the Women's Life House, and that thing was nasty. And they also grinded it out. You wouldn't even think it was there. If you never knew it was there, you wouldn't know. They pulled out some old wiring in the house, the new house, and they began to rewire some. They poured a concrete slab for the AC unit. They put some stringers up on the front and the back porch. They painted the trim on the new house, primered and painted it. They built a concrete wall that went down into the basement from the outside, the exterior side. They also they relayed and leveled the brick sidewalk there on the corner of on Byron Street. And they also put in a brand new patio that was just weeds and stuff. And they also put in a privacy fence both for the women's and the for both houses. That's a lot of work. And so we are going to have, so we have a week break this week, and then there'll be another team coming in from Franklin, Kentucky on this coming Sunday. Not tonight, but this next Sunday night, there will be 47. And this group will not be staying at the hotel, motels. They will be staying here. So I'm going to ask this now, and you can tell me, and I'll repeat it at the end of service so you can pray through it, but I need two or three people to volunteer to help clean up that utility room because they will be using those showers, and so we need to make sure that room is ready for them. So 47 people is a lot of people to house, so we're going to be housing them here for a week. So a little bit more at the end of service on that, but pray that maybe you might want to give up a couple hours to help get that room prepared for them to come. But we are in the middle of the summer season, and hopefully you're having a good summer. And I hope that you are. I hope that you're walking with the Lord some and growing in your relationship with Christ, because that's something we've been talking about, is growing up in Jesus and growing up in our walk with Him, because we need to grow up even more than what we are now. And some of us are different places, but we need to learn to grow up in the Lord and to begin to find out who we are, what we are, and how we're supposed to apply those things. And as you become a leader, things begin to happen. And this isn't just for leaders, but this is for all of us as we begin to walk and begin to grow in our walk with the Lord, and we begin to live the life that God's called us to live. Once you begin to start to turn to live the life that God wants you to live, and it's called a righteous life, which means Christ-like living. And that doesn't mean that you're perfect, but you are trying to live the life that God has put out in His Word. It's called a living righteously. And I hope that you can admit today, hopefully, that you are living righteously, which means you're living a Christ-like life. It does not mean that you are perfect, because in this world, we cannot be perfect in this world. But we desire to be what Christ has called us to be. And when we begin to do those things that God's called us to be, we learned last week that God will use us in His ministries. We will be a useful tool for His kingdom. And so we begin to look at this story tonight, or today. Actually, this was supposed to be my message for tonight, and tonight's was going to be this morning. So tonight we're going to, anyway, so this morning, the message I had for this morning, I'm moving it to tonight. So I just flipped them. So tonight we're going to poke our heads into the door and see what heaven looks like. We're going to do that tonight. But right now we're going to look at something here I feel like that most of us need to see and read a little bit here tonight or this morning as well. I want to look at this man named Job for a minute. I want you to look at him. Let's just go to him. Go to the first chapter there in the book of Job. I just want to touch a couple places this morning. I want you to understand that as a Christian, you know, some people play a lot of games. I'm not a game player, but some people play a lot of games. And I've heard people say that life is a game. Well, I don't think life is a game, but if you looked at it that way, then you're playing the most risky game that you can ever play. Because eternity is the outcome of how you play this game. Eternity is on who you're going to choose and how you're going to live it. And if you're a believer in Christ and you receive Christ, you have salvation, you followed into those walks and the will of the Lord, you're going to find something there that's going to pop up from time to time, knowing that it's going to try to knock you out of this race, out of this game some. And we're going to see some things here because I think God is involved in your life more than you think. But I also think that there's times when we think that he's a part of things and he's not so much a part of some things. And we blame God for things sometimes, and we want to put fault at his feet. And truly, there is no fault at his feet. So I want to look at a moment here in time when there was a man who did some pretty good, he was living pretty good. He was doing the things that God wanted him to do. Let me pick this up. Okay, so let's pick it up in verse 5. So it was when in the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send to sanctify them, meaning his kids and his family and all those in his household. And he would rise early in the morning and he would burn offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. Job, even though he was a father, even though his children that we read here are adults, they're living in their own homes. We don't know what about the others, but we know that these right here are living in their own homes. It means that he continued to pray for them even when they were outside of their homes. I want to tell you, if you have a godly Christian family and they are truly, you know, godly parents, you are blessed to have godly parents because they do not stop praying for you even though you live outside the home. You have your own home. And godly parents will pray for you. Listen, I'm not telling you godly parents won't buy you a car sometimes. Parents buy cars. Parents help children out of debt. They have them in their problems. But listen, nothing is more valuable than the prayers that they pray. So if you're a parent and you have children and you're a Christian and you're not praying for them, then you need to take a step back and look at reality. You need to take a step back and start thinking about really what is important. Whether your children are out living the wrong kind of lifestyle or they're living right, regardless, we as parents, Christian parents, need to pray for our children regardless of what's going on in their life. And we see that Job did that, and this is something that began. Now listen, I want to tell you, what you do does not go unseen. What you do does not go unseen. We know that God sees all, nothing is hidden from God, amen? We can't pack it and lock it up in a closet and say nothing, that it never existed. Listen, God sees all things. But let's look at something. There was a day, in verse 6, when the sons of God, now there's a lot of deep stuff that we can get into here, but we're not going to get into, I want to get into the man of Job. But there are some things that are a little bit deep here. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So we see a piece here. We see a piece here that we struggle understanding some of this concept of, we struggle with some of this concept of seeing Satan and the angels together. Because we read scriptures where, okay, Satan is on the earth, he's doing his things, but the sons of God are together. There's a little bit going on there, a little bit more than what we know. But the scriptures tells us these things here, that they were assembled. And somebody opened up their big mouth. And God knew who it was going to be. God knew it was going to be Satan. Satan didn't need to be there, but he was there and he had a purpose. Listen, do you do anything without a purpose? Most of the time, everything you do, you try to have a purpose for it. The sons of God were there to worship God. They were there to present themselves to God. Satan was there to stir up some issues. He was there for a purpose. His purpose was to go for something. He was going to go for the juggler. He was going to go for a man. It didn't say that when the... Listen, I'm going to tell you, it's very, very important, you men of God. You men of God. You are the keepers of your family. You are the spiritual leaders of your family. Satan came, and you need to be ready. I'm not saying this is going to happen to you, but I'm saying it happens more than what we know, and probably more than what you think. But Satan didn't come after everything else. He was coming, and he mentioned one name, and he mentioned only one name, and that man's name was Job. One man. One man. So I want to tell you, first of all, that the blessings that God gives to you doesn't go unnoticed. People see them. God knows He's given them to you. But let's look at this for a moment. Number one, God put a protective hedge around Job himself. That's what we read. Satan says it. He says it right there. He knew why he could not get in and do what he wanted to do and go for the juggler, go for this family. He could not do it because there was something there. The Bible says there was a protective hedge around him. There was a protective hedge. Satan says there's a protective hedge. You put a protective hedge around Job. You know what? That is a blessing. That God puts a protective hedge around someone. That is the blessing, number one. Number two is there was a protective hedge around his household. Around his household. Listen, we as men of God, we as spiritual leaders, we have a household. It isn't just about us. It's about the household. So there was a protective hedge around the household. There was also a protective hedge around everything that he had. Everything that he had. There was a protective hedge around that. We also see that God blessed the works of his hands. He blessed the work, his hands were blessed. Also, he blessed him with prosperity. So the prosperity, everything that he had, it continued to grow. This man was a blessed man. He was a very blessed man. So much that he was blessed by God. And so much that he was trying to live right for God. And he was trying to do the right things. That it grabbed the attention of Lucifer, of Lucifer, Satan. So I want to say, the number one part of this is, their blessings do not go unnoticed. Blessings do not go unnoticed. Satan sees the blessings that you have, and he can't stand it that you've been blessed by God. He can't stand it that you are blessed. Now, without going too deep, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 28, you'll see that Satan also, where there was a moment where he, in time where he was blessed, and now he doesn't want you to receive the blessings of God because he knows how sweet and awesome the blessings of God were and how they are. For him, it's how they were, but not any longer. But the blessings of God did not go unnoticed. The blessings of God angered Satan. The blessings of God angered him. Because he sees people willingly, out of their own heart and out of their own part of themselves, wanting to serve God, wanting to be right and honoring and worship God and do the things and try to live a life that is righteous before God, even in an unrighteous world. And we see the blessings of God anger Satan. But also the blessings that we have, the blessings that the blessed people, we that are blessed, we are, people are jealous of the blessings of God. People are jealous of the blessings of God, and they become, and so they we become their enemy. So when you're trying to live a right life for God, I'm telling you, the adversary will rise up things to fight you and to fight the things around you. And some of us, we don't even know how to battle. We don't even know how to battle. And not taking anything away from Ephesians chapter 6, we need to put on the full armor of God. But we need to understand what it truly means. Listen, the full armor of God, I understand it when you're a child and you throw a little picture up of a shield of faith and the sword of the Bible. Listen, you can throw it up all day long, but until you use it, it's worthless. If you're letting it sit on the floor, it's worthless. If you're just letting it sit over there on the counter, it's worthless. You got to experience it because some of us are in the battle in life and we're getting butchered. We're getting hammered. Some of our families are getting hammered. We think a little bit more money will fix it. We think let me drop this bird. This guy ain't no good. I'm going to get me a new man. I'm going to get me a new woman. I'm going to do it this way. Listen, that if you ain't doing it the way God wants you to, you're just going down a different path to leading the same place. Amen, that's right. All goes back and is leading in the same old place. And Satan gets you off track. Listen, there's only one way, and that is the way of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, some of us have messed up marriages because we don't know how to handle it. We have messed up families. We don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to deal with it. And I'm telling you, Satan will come in and he will attack. He will do that. John 10:10 tells us, thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The first attack, now we know there were two attacks that happened. Now the first attack that happened, we begin to see that it says that the Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. He was like, here we go. I got permission. I get to go now. The hedges are coming down. The hedges are coming down. There were five blessings that Job had. There were five blessings. One is a protective hedge around himself, around his household, around everything that he had. He was blessed with his hands, and he was blessed also with prosperity. And Satan went in there, and it was that the whole thing was is you cannot touch him. So he come in there, and Satan went all the way up to the line, and he took four of those blessings, and he destroyed them. He killed. He stole Job's joy, his resources, and all that he had. He killed his kids, his children, and his servants and his household. Many of them died. And he destroyed the animals and the fields and all of his prosperity. This man was at the height. And the very next moment, because they all kept running in, three of these guys just kept coming in giving reports. And there was nothing good about any of the reports. And in 24 hours, everything he had was almost shut down. Shut down. In chapter 1, we read this piece here. After we hear that the young ones, children, were all put to death, they all died. Satan used the weather. He used the weather to destroy Job's. He used people, some enemies, and he used everything that he could get his hands on, anything he could do. He used it to destroy Job's life, his legacy, his family, and everything that he had. But verse 20 says, then Job arose after he heard the last report. He tore his robe and he shaved his head and he fell to the ground and he worshipped. Now I want to tell you, he did not worship God. Praise God, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, thank you. No. You can't find a man that would worship like that after losing everything that he had. Let me tell you, there are some of us need to learn to worship God with a broken heart. When you have a broken heart, your true self will come out. Can you worship God with a broken heart? Not just be jumping around, running around, and trying to be slain in the spirit. I know I'm stretching out a little bit. Listen, you can't just come into service and think you're going to get that all the time. Because that ain't life. Life is when you get beat up financially. Life is when you don't know if a child is going to die or not. You don't know if that young grandchildren, the child is going to make it through that surgery. You don't know if your parent is going to make it, your parent's not going to make it. And you sit there and you watch them struggle through life, death, death, life, back and forth. Listen, it is in those moments you'll define who you are and your character in Jesus Christ. And Job was here, and he rose up, and he did. He tore his clothes, and he shaved his head. And shaving your head probably takes some time, and I can tell you this, during that you think he's thinking, he's pondering, he's thinking, he's processing. I lost everything. I've lost everything. I've lost everything. I've lost everything. And he falls on the ground because there's that one voice that will remind you who you are, that he says he'll never leave you and never forsake you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, naked I come from my mother's womb. Listen, these words that we're going to read here did not come from a good man. It did not come from any man. It come from God. It is God speaking through a man. God speaks through us from time to time when we come up and we remember. How in the world did I remember a scripture that I remembered when I was a child, and it comes up and now it's giving me strength? The Holy Spirit brings it back out of that deep root, that deep spot that's in you. And he says, naked I come from my mother's womb. And naked shall I return there. Because he believes he's going to die. And the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. But he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he says it with a broken heart. He says it with a heart that is broken. With a man who has lost everything. And in verse 22 it says, in all of this, Job did not sin. Nor did he charge God with wrong. Nor did he blame God. Which is what many of us would do today and what we do today. When we have a financial just a mess, or we have a family mess, we begin to blame God. We begin to blame those kind of things. Listen, sometimes we have bad things that happen because we just make bad choices. Sometimes we have the repercussions and the implications and the outcome of it because we make bad decisions. It's the outcome. Bad choices bring bad outcomes. And then the consequences happen. But sometimes there are things that happen that we have no control over. And it just continues to hammer down. And this did not make Satan happy. Satan was not happy enough. Satan didn't care about the kids. He didn't care about the cattle. He didn't care about this man's riches. He was looking for one thing. He was wanting this man to curse God. He wanted this man to turn around and do what a lot of people do when a lot less happens, is turn around and depart from the relationship with God. Just walk away from God. Abandon their faith. And that's what Satan wanted him to do, to abandon his faith in God. And it says again, there was another day when the sons of God presented themselves and Satan was in the midst as well. And the conversation changes just a little bit. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the face of the earth. I'll tell you, that burned up that burned up Satan so much right there. He said, a blameless and an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you entice me against him to destroy him without cause. Now I want to stop there for a minute because we just look at that and just look at that. Okay, yeah, let's get into the next verse. But I want to tell you that this is very, very important. There's a conversation between Satan and God about a man who knows nothing about that conversation. Because he has integrity in his walk with God. He has integrity in the world. He is walking with some godly character. He holds strong to the integrity in his belief in God. He turns around and he fears God in the right way, in the biblical way, and he shuns evil. That's a conversation. I wonder what the conversation would be. Think about what the conversation would be about yourself. How would Satan talk about you and how would God talk about you? They had a conversation. Job didn't know anything about this conversation. Says, I know nothing. He is on earth wondering what, maybe a little bit of wondering, where is my God? I still believe in him, but where is he? And in the meantime, they're talking about decision making up here. We think we make all kinds of decisions in this world. And we do in our life. But I'm telling you, there's decisions up here that really can trump your decision. And that's powerful decisions being made up there. We make them sometimes by emotion. We make them by the spur of the moment, sporadically, impulsively. And up there, there's conversation because there's eternal things that are being discussed. There is life-altering changes being discussed. And there is this moment where God says, listen, he is a man of integrity. Wow, well, that is awesome for God to say that. You probably don't feel like a man of integrity. Sometimes when you're going through something, you don't feel like a woman of God. You don't feel like a man of God sometimes. But I want to remind you, God can have a conversation up here and still have his hand on you down here. Because he said he'd never leave you, never forsake you. And Satan's really now, he's boiling mad. Conversation. I've always wondered a little bit off to the side what what the angels, sons of God, were thinking over there. I mean, it's like, they're probably not even looking at it. Disgraced by how he's talking to God. But they know his future. Verse 4 says, so Satan answered the Lord and said, and it amazes me how he answers the Lord in a cocky, disrespectful way. But that's who he is now. That's who he is. He's evil. He is an evil being. He is evil right to the core. Evil. And he says, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. Satan, all the stuff that he destroyed, all those other four blessings he destroyed, he ain't even conversation no more. That conversation's over. The man's still dealing with it. Job's still dealing with his losses. Satan doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't want us to draw close to God, because when we draw close to God and we begin to understand and getting closer to God in our relationship and start growing up with God, we begin to understand how awesome God really is. And how forgiving and how awesome His love and His mercy and His tenderness. His tenderness really is. And how much patience God has. And he says this, you stretch out your hand, but stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. You notice that Satan didn't say, I'll do it. He said, you do it. God's not going to do it that way. Because he says, but stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. Because Satan knows he can't do it without the permission. He knows he can't do it without permission. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. We struggle with understanding that sometimes. Now I want to tell you, if Satan didn't say that, he would have went down there and killed him. He already killed people. He already killed his family. But he says, but spare his life. That was the hook at the end. But spare his life. You can touch it, but you got to spare his life. Because he knew that Satan would just go down there and just kill him. Because why? Because his lifestyle can lead into somebody else's lifestyle who leads other people to God, who leads other people to a righteous-like living. He has to stop this stuff. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and he struck Job. He didn't even wait. He didn't down there, and he struck Job with painful boils. Everybody have a boil, at least one in your life? Just imagine with painful boils, but look at it. What's it say? From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, to the top, to the bottom. This man's a physically health mess now. And it wasn't this was painful. Now we're going to find out how painful it is, because we know what we do with boils when they really are painful. It says, and he took for himself a potsherd, a piece of clay, and with it, in which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of ashes. So he sat there in the midst of these ashes that he put upon himself. He had this piece of pottery, and he's cutting himself to release some of the stuff that's in the boil, in those boils, to release some of the pain and the suffering. But it didn't go away. And he does it. And then the most agonizing piece that is even more above physical pain is the next one that's going to happen. The next one that's going to happen, because here it is. I have my own personal belief in this. I'm going to share it and you can figure out on your own. I believe in this part here. The Bible says where the two shall become one. Amen. The two shall become one. Okay, man will leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife. They'll be one. Job's wife and Job are one. You strike Job, you strike his wife. Can't take her? I don't know. But I know this. This next piece can hurt more than any physical thing that can happen. You that are married know this. Then his wife said to him, now, not only is he suffering, she is suffering, but she's suffering in a different way than he is, but they have some things similar. She don't have the boils. We don't read any of that stuff, but she has something else. She is a mother. She's a mother. How many mothers do we have in the house tonight? Mothers, imagine something happened to all of your children. She's ready to give up. She's ready to be done. Because mothers can live, you know, we always call the helicopter mom, and sometimes moms don't know how to release at times, or you know, there can even be fathers that could be helicopter parents or whatever. They never, even their kids could be 30, 40 years old, the parents never really truly let them be adults. And but regardless, you lose one child, you're going to go through some pain, you're going to go through a heartbreak, your heart will break. You lose all your children and all those that are there. You will lose everything that you have. You will be broken. It says in verse 9, then his wife said to him, she came over there. You can imagine she's going to come over there. She's broken. She's going to say this one thing. And I believe it was very, very tough for him to take. It says, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Sometimes you feel like in your faith, there are moments where you feel like you're barely hanging on by a thread. You're barely hanging on by a thread. And what you believe, you're barely hanging in there. You want to give up, but there's something inside of you that says, do not give up. You know what it is. It is the Holy Spirit of God saying, hang in there one moment at a time, one minute at a time, one thing at a time. And you're still hanging there. And in the closest human being that you know of, as everyone says when they get married, I married my best friend. I married my best friend. And your best friend comes up to you and says, are you still holding to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? Now all your encouragement in the human form is over. Because in the future, he's going to have some friends come along, and they're going to be just as bad. So he doesn't have anybody on earth giving him any encouragement. Most of us could not handle that right there. And he tells him to, she tells him to, won't you just curse God and die? But he said to her, you speak now. This is, now listen guys, this is a husband-wife spat going on here a little bit. But what they've been through, it's all right. Sometimes you've got to wrestle in your marriage a little bit. There's a lot of pain going on here. Y'all have Sunday brunches and Sunday lunches with your kids? We do usually about every Sunday. I can imagine going to my house and none of them are there no more. I'm telling you, that's a loss of your children would affect you. And even, I believe, you, even many people can go through a mental breakdown. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. And spat back and forth. Somebody has to stay on spiritual ground. Somebody has to speak spiritual truth, even through these kinds of situations. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. I want to tell you, that didn't mean it was easy for Job to say that. He's hanging in there. He's hanging in there with his integrity. And we read scriptures that it comes in, Job has three friends coming from a distance. They didn't even say anything for a week. Then they begin to say, you must have did something. You're filled with pride. You didn't admit. You need to admit you did something. Oh, let me speak. Give me a moment to speak. And he didn't speak very well. They didn't come with encouragement. They came with pointing and judgment and false accusations. And we read later in scriptures, there's 42 chapters in this thing, so we cannot go through all, but we read in all these scriptures that these guys were really, it was messing Job up a little bit, but he held on and said, I didn't do anything. But there was a moment that we see that Job was going through some times where he was having demonic dreams. He couldn't sleep. The pain was horrible. And he struggled. And he had moments where God spoke to him. And he finally made it through. Now I want to tell you, the Bible says the sun comes up in the morning. The weeping may endure through the night, but the sun comes up in the morning. Now that don't mean it's going to happen just for one night. Pain can last a while. Suffering can last a while, but there's something how God can give us through time of healing and processing. And there was a moment where all of this was just everything that he had, all four blessings out of the five were just taken away. Now the last one was taken down, but only there was one piece, part of that first blessing, the hedge around Job was that you have to spare his life. That was the only piece left. Let me tell you, a fragment of God's blessing is enough. A fragment of God's blessing is still a blessing, and it is enough to get you through. Amen? And so we see that he does, and he gets through it. I want you to turn over to 42 for a moment. We're gonna work on this just for a moment. God has spoken to Job a couple of times now, and Job's going to speak. And he says this in verse 1. Then after the conversation that God spoke to Job, and these were things that were just too much for Job to understand. And then Job answered the Lord, and he said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I do not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. He repents in dust and ashes. They have conversation there, and it was so. After the Lord had spoken these words to Job, and he spoke to his friends, and he begins to have a conversation again. But here's what I want to share. When you go through moments where you're going through these, and these are kind of like times of faith, testing of your faith, God sees the end result. Satan sees. He just wants to come in and just slam and take you out. But God is using this for a bigger piece. Now his faith has been tested, and now his faith for being tested and going through it and winning victory through it, as messy as it was, it says in verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses. And when he prayed for his friends, and this is amazing, indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he did before. You see, Job prayed for his friends that came in and ridiculed him and discouraged him. He prayed for them, and God took his prayer for them, and he forgave them, and then they had to give him some things. And the Lord restored his losses and gave him twice as much. Verse 12, now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep. It goes on to a bunch of things like that. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And it goes on, and it says in verse 15, in all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among the brothers, which was not normal in that culture. Women usually very seldom ever got an inheritance, but they did. And after this, Job lived 140 years. And he saw his children and his grandchildren for 400 generations. So Job died old and full of age, and he had a testimony that he could share with his family. That was an amazing testimony. It was at a great expense, but it was also at the strengthening of his family. The Bible says here, we know that those blessings rose back up, not just the 5 again, but another set of 5. They were bigger than they were before, and the latter part of his life was stronger than the first part of his life. So don't think that what you're going through is going to take you out. What might you be going through might be helping you down the road. But today I want to tell you that Satan doesn't want you to hear the blessed parts that God has for you. And we have blessings, and we think, oh my gosh, Satan's going to steal my blessings. Listen, Satan can't steal anything that God don't know about. And here we see this. Today, Satan is doing many things to try to get you off your eye, get your eyes off of Jesus Christ, off of your relationship with God. What he's doing is he's trying to attack, and Satan is going back and forth on the earth today, seeking who he may devour. And he's doing it in many ways. He's trying to attack the integrity of the believers. Come on now. He is stealing and killing and destroying the lives of believers. Lost people, they're already destroyed until they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then they step up and he says, whoa, there's somebody that just got saved. Now I need to get over there and adjust my works over there. But he's stealing and killing and destroying the lives. He's also attacking in Christian families, drugs and alcohol and pornography, trying to destroy marriages through pornography, trying to destroy families through drugs and alcohol, all through also through anger and physical and emotional abuse. He's also doing it through sexual perversion, laziness, and in self-entitlement, and also myself and I entitlements, abandoning the faith. He's attacking for us to abandon the faith because we don't agree with what the church does. Listen, there is no perfect church in this world. There's no perfect church except for the church. But the people are abandoning the faith off of emotions and what they feel is right. That's all attacked by Satan. Also with bitterness, he's also attacking families with trying to get you to be angry with your brothers and sisters, and bitterness and angry and bitterness and unforgetfulness and unforgivingness and all those things. And the thing is, we need Jesus more now than we ever had. We need Jesus every day. Our families are falling apart in America. Our families are falling apart. Every one of us have problems in our family. Every one of us here today have a problem with someone in our family. Either we have a problem with them, they have a problem with us, or there's some things in their life that aren't right, and the families are broken today because we're not living the righteous life that God's called us to live, because we're letting the world seep into us instead of us seeping into the dark world. And here we are, we all need, our only hope is in Jesus Christ. The only hope that Job had was in his relationship with God. The only thing, everything else seemed to be so stable, and it wasn't stable. His bank account was not stable. His cattle was not stable. His family was not stable. But his relationship was the only thing that was stable in his life. And that's what got him through. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Sometimes you just got to hold on tight. Embrace the waves and the crashing of the thunderstorm and the lightning bolts, and embrace for the storm that's right there. You pray through the storm and you work through it and you fight. And even though there's moments where you're like, I'm not sure if I'm going to live or die, but I'm going to ride it out with all faith, because my faith is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And then you'll know this. You'll go up to 100-foot waves and you're like, I don't know if I can make it. And they'll keep coming to the left and right behind you, in front of you. And then there'll be that moment where all of a sudden it'll say, be still. And Jesus will calm it all down. And you want to know something? When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and it is attacked from Satan himself, I'll tell you what, you're still in the best hands. In some sense, you were never really in danger anyway. You were really never in danger anyway. Because the one who controls the storms is the one who created the storms. We can say, I would make it through, I would make it through. I think I can handle that situation. I think I can went through that storm. I think I could have went through that. Listen, when you say, I think I could have, you could do nothing. But it'd be better to say that with Jesus Christ, I can do all things. I can handle it through Jesus Christ. I can handle it with His Holy Spirit. And in those moments, you sharpen everything that you have. Lord, give me this. Listen, this is how I go. This is how I'm going to share with you as I close. This is how I make it through spiritual warfare. Because listen, people who try to live a righteous life before God and do godly things and live for God, listen, you will have spiritual warfare in your life. This is how I do it. I go, Lord, I need one thing. Lord, keep me focused on Jesus and not on the devil. Number two, Lord, keep me faithful during this time of the storm. Keep me faithful. Then my eyes will work on you. Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear what you would have me to hear and see, not what what my adversary wants me to hear and see. And I always say this, Lord, give me Lord, tweak up the spiritual gift of discernment, that I might know right from, that I might know evil from good. Because Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So you need the spiritual gift of discernment to make it through spiritual warfare. And listen, I'm telling you something. We're doing really well right now with the church. We're doing really well in certain areas. But when we start doing well, Satan looks at our blessings and goes, I don't like that. So spiritual warfare is always coming around the corner because it's a battle. If you read the life of Paul, you'll see that it was always a battle. There was a great day. Even the life of Jesus, it's always a battle, because on this earth, we are not home. Talk about that tonight, but we are not home. Well, we're walking in this world as foreigners and aliens, searching and going to the home of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan will continue to attack while we're here. And he will continue to steal your joy, steal the things that you have, to kill. To kill. And to destroy your ministry, to destroy your integrity, to destroy any possible use. So sometimes it just feels like you've been beat down so hard you can't even do ministry sometimes. But you get back up. You get back up, but only in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, we have a disconnect here, a little bit of disconnect. Some of us don't believe in this stuff. Some of us struggle with this stuff. You get into ministry and you dig in, you get into the deep parts of this ministry here. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about the Sunday morning stuff. I'm talking about the deep ministry stuff, the stuff that we see here, the stuff that we see on a Tuesday, the stuff we see on a Thursday night, the phone calls that we get. There's spiritual warfare going on in this town all the time. The sheriff calls us often. The chief police calls us often. Listen, it's constantly. Spiritual warfare is constantly going on here. But I will also tell you, God is doing a lot of work here. God is doing a lot of work here. And we need to give Him praise for it. And we need to worship Him even when our hearts are broken and when our hearts are happy. We need to learn how to serve Him and worship Him even when we're joyful and when we're sad, with a joyful heart and a sad heart. It's in those moments where you get solid. You become solid. This church needs prayer warriors. This church needs people to ask for discernment, the gift of discernment. This church needs people to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray you paid attention, because I felt a lot of people drifting off today. It's okay. Because this message was not a planned message per se. But I want to tell you, I want to warn you. 3 weeks from now, you're going through spiritual warfare. You didn't pay it. You'd be like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Listen, a man of God knows what to do. A woman of God knows what to do. They know what to do. Father, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, today just to preach through this word.